Bill Buckley here. Glad you could make it today. It's gadget time. Fevzi Turkamp, the gadget detective, is back with us. Don't forget you can always follow him at Gadget Detective on Twitter or subscribe for free to his podcast. Go to his website, gadgetdetective.com, or listen in the usual ways, Alexa, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc. Hi, Fevzi.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you with us, and I see we're going to have two gadgets rather than a gadget and a news story this week, so yes. I'm guessing it's a fairly quiet news week, and a very good decision therefore.
We've got a story and two gadgets, so
have we got a story?
We've got the contact lenses.
I can't see the contact lenses.
Scroll down,
at the moment.
Number three. Okay, don't worry, I'll take it.
go for it anyway. I'll fly blind if you want to go lenses.
So trust me, it's nothing terrible. Right. So we are used to using screens to interact with computer devices, but screens could become a thing of the past. Now, there have been attempts to make smart glasses, and Apple are known to be working on a pair of glasses, Microsoft have some, and so forth. But there is another technology that may leapfrog the glasses altogether, which is smart contact lenses. So imagine a contact lens that covers not only the lens of the eye, but the whole, extending into the whites of the eye as well. Right. Yeah. Contains a battery, contains a lens, contains microprocessor technology, and an internet connection or a Wi-Fi connection anyway. So what it can do is, this is in prototype phase, first of all, but they're about to start human trials. They're going to start sticking these things in the eyes of human beings and seeing what happens. One of the things that it can do is provide you with what's known as a heads-up display. So you'll be aware, for example, you're driving along, you want to see the sat-nav, you have to look down. Mm-hmm. If you are a fighter pilot, you don't have to look down. All the instrumentation is displayed. It's projected. It looks almost sort of holographic, sort of green display in your field of view. So you can see the data, but you can look straight through and see the rest of the world as well without having to look away. So imagine that you can do that. So everywhere you go, you wouldn't have to look at your screen on your handheld device. You could see, for example, as I say, sat-nav information as you go. You could, one of the pictures they show us is, at an airport, seeing your flight gate and being directed to that on foot. But anything at all, you could have information on face recognition. So you're in a group of people, and you look at a person, system recognizes who it is, tells you who it is, gives you a short biography. Maybe you're walking past a coffee shop and it detects you and it offers you a free cup of coffee if you'll just only come inside. All sorts of things. Imagine almost anything that you can do with a smartphone, but instead of having a screen, you have a projection in front of your eyes, which, eventually could be entertainment screens as well, if you wanted. I have to say, and I know this may distress some people, this is only another step. Okay, so think about how technology has changed over the decades. Okay, computers used to be things that governments owned. There was like one in the country if you were lucky, and you were typically
size of 10 rooms.
Yeah, and you were typically miles away from it and never really encountered it. Then other businesses start to have computers. Then we had home computers, so we're getting closer to the technology. We have home computers at our desks at home in our special computer room. And then you had luggable computers. I remember lugging a computer up the stairs and just about managing it. And they got smaller and lighter, and it became portable. Then they became personal, like handheld phones. Then they became wearable, like smartwatches. Mm-hmm. We're getting closer and closer to the skin. Have you noticed?
Yes.
And then what happens is the next step after these sorts of things that are touching us now, we're wearing, is we insert them into our bodies.
The only place left is inside, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. So, and if you think about it, how do our senses work? Okay, the brain doesn't see and the brain doesn't hear. The brain interprets signals from receptors, be those receptors ears or our skin or our eyes. But each of those receptors turn what they perceive into electrical signals that travel down nerves. That's the only way those signals can travel, is down, electrically down a nerve, with the myelin sheath keeping it, so that it gets all the way through. And then the brain gets these little packets of electrical information, data, and it interprets them. Which is why, for example, the human brain, you know, you've had examples of like synthetic arms sending signals to the brain and the brain being able to control the arm, and the brain very quickly adapts to it. And you say, okay, well, you know, you can replace an arm. They've done experiments where they've added a third arm, and the brain has no problem in controlling a third arm, even though human beings have never had a third arm. It would have no problems if the sensor was a night vision sensor, a sense that we don't currently have. It would have no problem if the data was a stream of information coming over the internet.
Where would this thing be in me then, and what would it be? Would it be a little something that need you know, to nick my skin and pop it under the skin, or would I swallow it like a tablet? Or what?
So I think the first stage would be to replicate the sensors that we have, you know, so to replace. So if someone is blind, give them artificial eyes, and the ones that communicate with the brain. But eventually, those sensors don't necessarily have to be where the conventional ones are. They could even be off-body. You know, you could have a feed from your home security system straight to your brain, for example. You could have just an internet connection, which then gives you telepathy, by the way, because you think something, and it's sent to me, you know, because it's very clunky, this idea of, you know, something being sent to a screen, the screen producing light, the light hitting our eyes, the eye focusing it as a beam and then converting it into electrical signals sent down a nerve, which you could cut out the middle technology and go straight to the brain. So you could just create artificial worlds, even, and we've talked a lot about metaverse. You could create artificial worlds and have them stimulate the brain directly. Once, and there are also, I mean, Elon Musk has got a project. You may remember that he's experimenting with pigs, trying to stimulate, you know, certain centers in the pig and also read the pig's brain. Facebook, rather scarily, or Meta, as we now have to call them. You know, it just reminds me of, you know, when someone's got such a bad reputation, they have to change their name and move to a different city. So we'll call them Meta and pretend we don't know.
Mr. Turkoff's opinions are not necessarily those of the BBC.
No, completely mine. So, but it just, you know, just we'll call them Meta because that's what they prefer. They are investing very heavily into technology that allows us to try to interpret brainwaves.
My goodness.
And imagine, because their whole business model is predicated on learning as much about us as they can and then targeting advertising, right? Yeah. Imagine how much they learn about us when they can scan the brain. What? So this is it. And we are, I make a prediction, we are one of the last generations of pure humans.
I was going to ask you, what's the time scale on the contact lens bit, let alone the under the skin or whatever bit?
Well, the contact lens bit, that's not quite cyborg, but
when do you think a lot of people will have those, like we've all got phones now? If indeed you do think it'll go that way.
I think, well, you'll always have early adopters because this won't be cheap technology. Look, they're testing it on humans. I would say, 3 to 5 years.
Good grief.
A retail product.
Good grief.
I do think, so there's a thing, there's a prediction called the singularity, which is the point at which it's predicted that artificial intelligence will supersede human intelligence. And no one really knows for sure when that's going to happen, but you know, informed opinion guesses maybe 2040, 2045.
No time at all.
Potentially within our lifespans. Yeah. And by then, if my feeling, you know, you're not going to like this. By then, if we are to succeed in surviving, because this is an existential threat.
Right.
The only way in which we will survive is to augment ourselves with similar technologies. So the AI will be part of us. So certainly by around 2040, if not before, well, certainly it's not going to happen in one day, but slowly we will, for example, replace lost limbs, we will replace lost senses, then we will augment. Yes, we already have surgery that augments us in different ways, right? It's not just a question of, you know, replacing that which already exists or has failed, but to augment, we become stronger, faster, smarter.
Wow.
$6 million won't cover it, right?
But Lee Majors will seem quaint, yes.
He does. Yeah, I mean, the idea. It's very interesting. Sometimes sci-fi has these ideas which are correct, but they can only interpret them in terms of what we know about in that time span. So Lee Majors does look quaint, doesn't he? But the idea is very much with
us. Stop hurting my head. Gadget man Fevzi Turkalt with us. Here we go then with two gadgets of the week, starting with a portable power station.
Okay, so this is from a company called Anker, spelled A-N-K-E-R. It's called the 521 Portable Power Station. They've started using numbers in their names, which is really good because sometimes their product range, there's so many products, it can be quite confusing. So this is the Anker 521 Portable Power Station. It is a device that is, think of it as a large rechargeable portable battery that you can carry around using a handle. And you charge it up and you can, for example, take it away on a weekend trip, camping, caravan, recreational vehicle, if that's your thing, or even at home for power outages. So it's a big battery, rather like the little ones that we carry. Remember, we saw a humongous one a few weeks back, which was £2,000.
Yes, we did.
This thing is 300, right? So it has not got the same capacity, but it is more portable, more practical in some ways, I would argue. And it can store in its batteries 256 watt hours, which I'll tell you in a moment what that sort of equates to in real world use. Very interestingly, the batteries, the rechargeable batteries in this thing, use a new technology, which means that they can be charged instead of about 500 times in their lifetime, which would equate to, you know, a year or two use, about six times that, about 3,000 times. So that's really good. It can output a maximum of 200 watts at a time. So you've got five different types of ports in there. You've got two of the normal USB-A ports that you might use to, you know, charge up a conventional phone. It's got a USB-C port, which is the more modern type that can charge, say, a laptop or keep a laptop powered for many hours. It's got a 12-volt car output as well, like the socket that you have in a car. And it's got a main socket, a 240-volt main socket, so you can plug in anything that you would plug in normally into the mains and it will run for a period of time. It's got a built-in light, so again, if you're using it in a caravan or camping, it's useful light on it. It's got a built-in handle so you can carry it around, and it's nice. I mean, just to give you an idea of what you can do, so it could charge a typical smartphone 20 times over from dead to full, a typical laptop four times over, could run a household light for 16 hours or a fan for about 5 hours.
Good.
Some combination of those, because, you know, five ports, you can run them all at the same time. And for the money, the combination of features, utility, capacity and portability, I think works really well. It's got a very nice large screen on it, which shows you exactly what's going on vis-a-vis charging and so forth. £299.99 of your money. Website is anker.com/UK. 4 stars out of 5.
Okay. Gadget number two, meanwhile, is a security camera.
Yeah, it's a security camera with a difference. It's from Eufy, spelled E-U-F-Y, and it's called the Solo Cam, one word, S for sugar, 40, the Solo Cam S40. It's a solar-powered wireless outdoor security camera. So when you mount a security camera in your home, and particularly outside, you know, looking outside at your drive or your garden or whatever it is you want to point it at, the problem is you often have to drill holes through the external wall, which is not ideal, you know, and you can lead to water ingress and damp and all sorts of problems. This one you don't have to, you just screw it to the outside of the building. The reason is the data flow is wireless, it connects as a Wi-Fi device, and that's not unusual. But even then, often you have to power these devices, so people often are running, you know, power cables through the walls. This thing has an internal battery, that's not unique. It has a solar panel on the top face. So the theory is, you know, if you position it correctly, you should be able to do that. And it means also that not only can they have a camera working, but it will spring for a little light. So when it detects motion, the little light comes on as well, which means that, for example, at night time, usually at night time when such cameras work, you get a black and white image because they're using infrared detectors. But this one, because the light comes on for about, I think, about an 8-meter range, it can see in colour at night, which quite good. It's got a 2K resolution sensor, which is very good. It can detect human beings, so you can set it so that it only triggers and records and alerts you when a human being walks into the frame. So if you don't want foxes and stuff triggering all the time. It's designed for all-weather use. It's what's called IP67. The really nice thing about these, most of these sorts of cameras you have to pay a subscription for. This one you do not. It has its own internal storage, and you can download it via Wi-Fi. So, if someone steals your camera, you're in trouble, of course. But that's not so likely if you position it sort of out of reach. And it means that you don't have to pay £100 or £200 a year for a subscription. So all in all, rather good. £199.99 at full price. Website is eufylife.com, eufylife.com. Once again, 4 stars out of 5.
Oh, I thought there might be a 4.5 there. Right,
No,
he's
generous.
He's tough.
I've not had my breakfast.
That'll be what it is. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much, Fevzi. We'll see you in 7 days' time. There he goes, the Gadget Detective. You'll find him on Twitter, @GadgetDetective.